It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. There's an outdoor camp in the region that helps kids coping with substance use disorders in their homes. We'll hear about it in just a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. With coal mining on the decline and people relocating, some towns in southern West Virginia are trying to find other ways to spur their economies. In Fayetteville, that has meant leaning into tourism. There's a large river rafting, mountain biking, and rock climbing scene in the area, but much of those activities are limited to the warmer months. So the town has started a unique tourism campaign to get people to come visit in the off-season. Folkways reporter Caitlin Tan has the story.
Walking through Fayetteville's downtown, you might notice little creatures hiding in trees, behind bushes, on benches, or even inside local shops.
Because at this point, we're like a gnome explosion.
That's Tabitha Stover. She's the executive director of the Fayetteville Convention and Visitors Bureau. She came up with the idea to have a month-long scavenger hunt throughout the town called Gnome-vember.
With it being November, we just thought Gnome-vember, and we kind of have a weird abundance of gnomes anyway in town, so it seemed like a good fit.
People from across West Virginia have donated a variety of gnomes to Fayetteville, more than 80 so far. Some are life-size and some are just a couple inches tall. There's a WVU gnome, a Christmas gnome, a Halloween gnome, and they all have that distinct long white beard, large nose, and pointy hat. Some have names like Linda, Bob, or Steve. The goal for visitors is to find at least 12 gnomes to earn a small prize. And at the end of the month, the person who finds the most will receive a gnome-themed gift basket. Tabitha explains to one participant.
So I have to fill out where they're at.
Where they're at, and they're all...
So I can go ahead and do my first one.
Yeah, that's your first one.
So there's two in the shop right now.
There's two in here. And then if you looked outside, you might stumble across more.
Fayetteville's resident gnome lives at the local shop, Wild Art and Wonderful Things. He's about 3 feet tall and sits behind a sign that reads, "There's Gnome Place Like Fayetteville." Brandon Ritterbusch is the owner of the shop, and although gnomes originated in Germany, she says they fit West Virginia.
They're little woodland outdoor creatures, and that's kind of what we are here in Fayetteville.
Fayetteville's economy heavily depended on coal mining and the railroad in the early 1900s. As those industries started to decline, they were replaced with outdoor tourism. The Fayetteville area is one of the top destinations for whitewater rafting in the country, but the season only goes from spring to fall. People spend more than $69 million per year visiting Fayette County, according to a travel impact study by Dean Runyon Associates. Tabitha says about three-quarters of that is spent during the peak summer season. And Brandon says it's a seasonal town, and she notices a decline in visitors during the off-season.
But I'm just glad it's a way to get people here that they normally wouldn't have a reason to get out and about.
And Gnome-vember seems to be helping. Tabitha says over 100 people have participated so far. There was even a family from New Jersey that stopped in Fayetteville to hunt gnomes. Tabitha says events like this could work in other small, economically distressed towns.
I think there's so many awesome little towns with potential in West Virginia that each town could have their own little thing, be it gnomes or whatever their special thing is.
Some gnomes have gone missing. Tabitha says either the mystical forest creatures are roaming or there might be a gnome napper in town. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Fayetteville, West Virginia.
This story is part of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Southern Coalfields Reporting Project, which is supported by a grant from the National Coal Heritage Area Authority. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:48. A areas of fog this morning, especially in the east and north, becoming partly sunny with highs in the 40s and 50s, partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 30s, and partly cloudy tomorrow with highs in the 50s and low 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. Support is also provided by Bella the Corner Gourmet in downtown Lewisburg since 2010. Wines, cheeses, kitchenwares, and more. Expressing gratitude for you, the WVPB listener and supporter, this Thanksgiving holiday. In the most recent episode of Inside Appalachia, we look at education in the outdoors. One group in Ohio has turned into the idea that kids find coping mechanisms more readily in natural environments. Kavitha Cardosa reports about one program set outdoors in Dayton, Ohio, that hosts children whose parents struggle with addiction. We should add that this story includes details about neglect and abuse that may be unsettling for some listeners.
It's 8-year-old C's first time at Camp Mariposa. She's nervous. She's still learning the camp song, "I didn't cause it, I can't control it, I can't cure it." C sits in a circle with other campers, all between 8 and 12. C is her first initial. We're not naming her or the other children in the story to protect their privacy. Her curly hair bobbing, C looks around. She desperately wants a new best friend.
I had this one best friend and I told her all my secrets. So one day she just snapped on me and went telling someone, and then that someone came to me and told me that I'm going to end up just like my parents.
C's parents have been using drugs since she was born. When she was 5, her grandmother got a phone call saying terrible things were going on in the family. So she picked up C, who's lived with her ever since. C has no contact with her mother. Her father is locked up. Wendy Berkshire, the camp director, says for children like C, secrets and shame are a huge burden.
Don't talk, don't share, don't feel. And we teach the kids here at camp, when we keep our feelings inside and we don't have an opportunity to share them in a safe place and with a safe person, it becomes a part of the cycle of addiction.
Here, those secrets come spilling out. One camper talks about coming home after a play date and being taken away to foster care.
I just didn't want it to happen again because it's happened too many times. So when it happened again, I had a mental breakdown. And I got anxiety and got depression.
Another wants to forget what she's seen.
My mom did drugs and she was pregnant with my brother. And it made me upset because she almost made my brother die.
One boy shares his mom has relapsed.
She says it's like a grip it has upon you. She explained it to me and my brother. Like, if you really wanted to have a cupcake every single day and constantly, and if you didn't have it, you'd feel really sick.
The nonprofit Iluna runs these camps in 13 states, many in areas hardest hit by the opioid crisis. All these children have experienced trauma. And like C, many are conflicted about their parents' behavior. Her mother lives in a different state and has lost custody of all 4 of her children.
When my sister and my brother were kids, my mom would actually beat them. Like a child abused them. My brother and sister were just screaming and crying. Because actually my mom held my sister's throat and choked her up to where her feet were off the ground.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like mad at my mom. I still don't forgive her, but I still love her.
These kids have experienced needles in their living room and having to call 911 to revive their parents.
As a camp mentor here, Derek Fink hears painful stories.
Kids living in garages, peeing in buckets in the corner. Kids sticking up for their parents because they want them to do right. Kids watching their dads OD and die to raise their own brothers and sisters because there's no parent in their life.
Sharing feelings and caring adults. That's how this camp tries to boost protective influences in these kids' lives, because they're at higher risk for using drugs themselves and for entering the juvenile justice system.
We can't fix their lives, but we can walk alongside that.
Walking alongside means these camps are not a one-off event. These 25 campers get together every month, and mentors also meet them on weekends. In many ways, these adults are the stable, consistent figures in their lives. One little girl says at camp, she knows she belongs.
Like, this is my home, and my other home at home is like a backup.
There's also a four-month program for family members still in the children's lives, and lots of free activities funded through government and private money. Songs and stress balls, deep breathing, and drawing. They're taught calming techniques and coping skills to make better choices. Wendy Berkshire wants them to realize they do have power.
To know that they have the ability, they can't control what's going on in their life or their family, but they have all the power to control themselves and their emotions.
Mindfulness jars are a huge hit.
Wendy.
Purple and yellow.
Yeah. I love that.
Children mix a few drops of food coloring to their jars, which are filled with a mixture of water and glue. Then they add glitter.
Gently put the glitter in. We have blue, purple, pink, and white.
Miss Wendy.
Like half a spoon.
Yeah, half a spoon.
I'm on white and blue. Okay.
The jar has a pretty simple idea behind it. When you shake it, your thoughts and feelings are like the glitter, agitated and all over the place.
When you get the glitter in, you want to shake it.
Like this?
Stop shaking. The glitter settles down, and so can you. The kids stare at their jars.
And then you can watch it go calm, and it helps me breathe.
These kids can be giggly and goofy here. They pour too much syrup on their pancakes, yell about spotting a spider, and are looking forward to the big camp party tonight, complete with a DJ and s'mores. But before that, they need to tackle some tough stuff. The children have written letters to addiction, and they're getting ready to read them out loud.
This is a circle of safety. We're just sharing and we're listening.
The lights are dim. Even Sia is uncharacteristically somber. She sits close to her three new best friends as she reads.
Dear addiction, why do adults like you? When I'm older, I will be against you. You make me not like my mom and dad, and it's sad. You make my dad go to prison. I hate you.
After a moment, another child speaks up.
Dear addiction, you are my worst enemy. You took my dad from me, my stepdad, my aunt, and bound to be my uncle. So I just have to ask you a question. Could you please just go to hell? Signed, a very sad kid.
One little girl struggles to get through hers.
I hate you so bad. I wish you wasn't real. You hurt kids so bad. I hate you. Go to hell. This is a fight for my mom. I miss you, Mommy.
Everyone cries.
You don't have to keep it inside anymore. And the most important thing to Miss Wendy is that you know that you're not alone. Absolutely most important thing to me is that you're seen and you're known and you're heard.
The children line up near a fire pit to throw their letters in.
Throw it in. Nice. I'm so proud of you.
Love you.
I love you too, sweetheart. You're the last one, David.
That was really hard stuff, wasn't it?
I miss my mom.
You miss your mom. I know you do, sweetheart. And I'm sorry that Mommy's not here. I'm sorry.
For NPR News, I'm Kavita Cardoza in Dayton, Ohio.
That story is one included in our most recent episode of Inside Appalachia that explores the subject of learning outdoors. Find it online at wvpublic.org.